Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI FM in Rochester, New York, and is funded by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council.
Say, there's a little rhythm, rhythm, rhythm. The pit-pats through my brain. So darn persistent, the day isn't distant when it will drive me insane. Comes in the morning without any warning.
This is Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. When young women left home for independent lives in the city, they dared a great deal. Reputation, physical safety, happiness. Here are their stories in song.
Oh, how I long to be the man I used to be. Fascinating Rhythm, you gotta stop picking on me.
In 1906, Victor Herbert and Henry Blossom wrote the score for The Red Mill. Two young Americans, stranded and penniless in the Netherlands, rely on their quick wits and their charm, and even help out some young Dutch lovers who are having trouble with their parents. But it's their attitudes toward women that matter today. They're perfectly fine young men, but they see women as alluring playthings. They don't worship them, but they also don't recognize them for what they are. It's hard to judge them, though, especially when they have such fine songs to sing. Wade Woodward, every day is Ladies' Day with me, and Cassidy King and Anthony Maida in Old New York.
I should like without undue reiteration of the eagle to express how very hard I find it is to make my pay go round among my vulgar creditors. I'm fearfully in debt, for I always have afforded everything that I could get. But I must say that I've had the best of what there is in life. I've been lucky in my love affairs, I've never had a wife. I can some little interest in the dry affairs of state, and the businessmen who call on me are coldly left to wait. For every day is Ladies' Day with me. I'm quite at their disposal all the while. And my pleasure, it is double if they come to me in trouble, for I always find a way to make them smile, the little darlings. I've no doubt I should have married long ago. It's the proper thing to do, you'll all agree. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on one. So every day is Ladies' Day with me. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on one. So every day is Ladies' Day with me. It's a frightful thing to think of all the hearts that I have broken, although each one fell in love with me without.
In old New York, the peach crop's always fine. They're sweet and fair, and on the square, the maids of Manhattan were mine. You cannot see in Cape Henry, in London, or in court. The queen shall meet on any street in old New York. I'm telling you, they're the best things they use. And now, sweet old lady, has a milk in the corner. I know it's a long way to drive it. It's bitter and
whatever the weather is, shining or showery, that doesn't cut any ice on the Bowery.
Every night of broad daylight, they dance and sing and talk.
The girls are all gay and they're jolly good fellas.
They're sweet and they're swell, but they're none of them jealous.
They go it alone
in a style of their own on the Bowery in New York.
In old New York, each drop's always fine.
They're sweet and fair, and on the square, the maids of Manhattan were mine.
You cannot see in Gay Paris, in London or in Cork. The queens you'll meet on any street in old New York. In old New York, in old New York, the peach crops always fine. They're sweet and fair and on the square, the maids of Manhattan for mine. You cannot see in Gay Paris, in London.
From Victor Herbert and Henry Blossom's The Red Mill, Wade Woodward, Every Day is Ladies' Day with Me, and Cassidy King and Anthony Maida in Old New York. You're listening to Fascinating Rhythm, songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. When women left home to make their way in the world, it's hard to know exactly what they wanted. Given the standards of the day, though, it was less likely to be adventure than finding a husband. But they also had to support themselves while they were looking. When they first began to move to the city after the Civil War, office jobs were men's work. But retail shops were turning into department stores, and women found work as secretaries and shop clerks. They were near the bottom, but they were doing it themselves, always with an eye for what was possible. And the possibility was a husband. Even the songs about working girls were one way or another about love. From 1906, Anna Seola, Katie Was a Business Girl, and from 1912, Jack Norworth, Kitty the Telephone Girl.
Katie was a little queen who sat upon a throne, cashier in a man's cafe. Katie ruled a kingdom quite distinctly, Katie's own, ruled it in her own sweet way. Katie always managed to get tangled making change. Pardon me, you'd say to her, but won't you please arrange? Katie'd smile and murmur, a mistake, dear me, how strange. Isn't it a lovely day?
Kitty, Kitty, it a pity in the city you work so hard with your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Gerard? Kitty, kitty, isn't it a pity that you're wasting so much time with your lips close to the telephone when they might be close to mine? If any time you should wish anything, Kitty said, don't forget to give me a ring. Tommy said, dear, I needn't mention that all along was my intention. Meet me tonight and I will give you a ring, and I'll make you my wife. Then we can't ring off the telephone, and we'll both ring on for life. Kitty, kitty, isn't it a pity in the city you work so hard with your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Gerard? Kitty, kitty, isn't it a pity that you're wasting so much time with your lips close to the telephone when they might be close to mine?
Anisiola with Jerome Kern and Paul West's Katie Was a Business Girl, and Jack Norworth with Harry Gifford, Huntley Trevor, Tom Mellor, and Alfred Lawrence's Kitty the Telephone Girl. It's ironic in songs anyway, the marriage remained the goal for independent women well into the 1920s. Even the flappers wanted to settle down eventually, and women who had mastered the art of flirting were highly desirable, even if the batting of eyes now came accompanied by surprisingly masculine tastes. Everybody knows the words to Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but it's the verse that gives the game away and makes the song more interesting than it might otherwise be. Listen to what Katie Casey has to say for herself as the Robert de Cormier Singers perform Albert von Tilzer and Jack Norworth's classic song.
Boom, boom. Bum 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 bum
bum. Katie Casey was baseball mad, had the fever and had it bad, just to root for the hometown crew every Sue. Katie Blue. On a Saturday, her young beau called to see if she'd like to go to see a show. I'll tell you what you can do.
I want you all to take
me out to the ball.
Take me out there. Take
me out with the crowd.
Take me out
with the crowd. Grab me some peanuts and cracker jack.
Yum, yum.
I don't care if I never get back.
Let me root, 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 root
for the home.
For the home, for the home team.
If they don't win, it's a shame.
It's a shame.
For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the
Take me out with the crowd.
some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, 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 root for the whole,
for the whole, for the whole
team. If they don't win, it's a shame.
It's a shame, for it's
you're out at the old,
at the old
ball game.
At the old
ball game.
At the old
ball game.
The Robert de Cormier Singers Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Between the move to the city and the walk down the aisle, life could be perilous for a young woman on her own. People were of two minds about having these single young women living on their own in the tempting faraway city. City life was exciting, also dangerous. People were of two minds, so our songs were as well. The heavens above and the city below, wishes and dreams, but also hard reality, both rendered in the melodramatic style of the sentimental ballad. From 1910, Joan Morris and William Bolcom, Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl, and from 1913, Milford Fargo and Nancy Kennedy, In the Heart of the City That Has No Heart.
A village maid was leaving home. With tears her eyes was wet. Her mother dear was standing near the spot. She says to her, "Neuralgia dear, I hope you won't forget that I'm the only mother you have got. The city is a wicked place, as anyone can see, and cruel dangers round your path may hurl. So every week you'd better send your wages back to me, for heaven will protect a working girl. You are going far away, but remember what I say. When you are in the city's giddy whirl, from temptations, crimes, and follies, villains, taxi cabs, and trolleys, oh, heaven will protect a working girl. Her dear old mother's words proved true, for soon the poor girl met a man who on her ruin was intent. He treated her respectful, as those villains always do, and she supposed he was a perfect gent. But she found different when one night she went with him to dine into a table d'hôte so blithe and gay. And he says to her, "After this, we'll have a demi-tasse." Then to him these brave words the girl did say: "Stand back, villain, go your way. Here I will no longer stay. Although you were a marquis or an earl, you may tempt the upper classes with your villainous demi-tasses. Heaven will protect a working girl."
She wanted to roam, so she left
Joan Morris with A. Baldwin Sloan and Edgar Smith's Heaven Will Protect the Working Girl, and Milford Fargo and Nancy Kennedy with Joseph M. Daley and Thomas S. Allen's In the Heart of the City That Has No Heart. From the 1890s to the start of World War I, songs fretted over the safety and reputations of single young women alone in the world. They told cautionary tales of virtue compromised and reputation lost. These two songs are from 1894, and it's interesting to note most recent recordings are by country singers. Joan Sprung, She Is More to Be Pitied Than Censured, and Johnny O'Toole, She May Have Seen Better Days.
In an old concert hall in the Bowery, round a table was seated one night. A crowd of young fellows carousing. With them, life seemed cheerful and bright. At the very next table was seated a girl who had fallen to shame. All the young fellows jeered at her weakness till they heard an old woman.
More to be pitied than censured. She is more to be helped than despised. She is only a lassie who ventured down life's stormy path, ill-advised.
Do not scorn her with words fierce and bitter. Do not laugh at her shame and downfall. For a moment, just stop and consider that a man was the cause of it all. In a little old church round the corner, all the neighbors were gathered one day, and the parson was preaching a sermon for a soul that had just passed away. 'Twas the same wayward girl from the Bowery who a life of adventure had led. Did the clergyman laugh at her downfall? Oh no, he asked for God's mercy and said,
she is more to be pitied than censured. She is more to be helped than despised. She is only a lassie. guilty who ventured down life's stormy path, ill-advised, ill-advised. Do not scorn her with words fierce and bitter. Do not laugh at her shame and downfall. For a moment, just stop and consider that a man was the cause of it all.
While strolling along with a city's vast throng on a night that was bitterly cold, I noticed a crowd who were laughing aloud at something they chanced to behold. I stopped for to see what the object could be, and there on a doorstep lay a woman in tears from the crowd's angry cheers. And then I heard somebody say, may have seen better days when she was in her prime. She may have seen better days once upon a time. Low by the wayside she fell. Just mend her way. Some poor old mother is waiting for her who has seen better days. Now, if we could tell why the poor creature fell, perhaps we would not be so severe. And if the truth were but known of this outcast alone, mayhap we would all shed a tear. She was once someone's joy, cast aside like a toy, abandoned, forsaken, unknown. Every man standing by had a tear in his eye, for some had a daughter at home. She may have seen better days when she was in her prime. She may have seen better days once upon a time. Low by the wayside she fell. She may yet mend her way. Some poor old mother is waiting for her who has seen better days.
Joan Sprung, She Is More to Be Pitied Than Censured, and Johnny O'Tall, She May Have Seen Better Days. You're listening listening to the Peabody Award-winning Fascinating Rhythm, Songs from the Great American Songbook. I'm Michael Lasser. Many of the cautionary tales are narratives. They let others react to a young woman who's lived in the city for some time. They may react with mockery or sympathy, but the damage to the woman is beyond dispute. She's not the fine young person she had been, though even here some signs of her true character may remain. She's fallen, but some trace of decency remains. Mack Wiseman sings, "Just Tell Them That You Saw Me."
While strolling down the street one day upon near Pleasure Bend, was after business worries of the day, I saw a girl who shrank from me and whom I recognized, a schoolmate from a village far away. "Is that you, Madge?" I said to her. She quickly turned away. "Don't turn away, Madge, I am still your friend. Next week I'm going back to see the old folks, and I thought perhaps some message you would like to send. Just tell them that you saw me," she said, "they'll know the rest. Tell them that I'm looking well, you know. Whisper if you get a chance to mother dear and say I love her as I did long, long ago. Your cheeks are pale, your face is thin, come tell me were you ill? When last we met your eyes shone clear and bright. Come home with me when I go back, the change will do you good. Your mother wonders where you are tonight. I long to see them all again, but not just yet," she said. "It's pride alone that's keeping me away. Tell them not to worry, for I'm all right, don't you know? Tell mother I am coming home someday. Just tell them that you saw me," she said, "they'll know the rest. Tell them that I'm looking well, you know. Whisper if you get a chance to mother dear and say I love her as I did long, long ago."
Mack Wiseman with Paul Dresser's 1895, Just Tell Them That You Saw Me. The older the song, the more likely it is to urge caution. The more recent, the more accepting. Public behavior was changing, and so were sexual attitudes. A girl riding in a car with a boy might raise a few eyebrows, but it was no longer taboo. What young women did in private was their business, and there were more chances for privacy than ever before. Even so, dire warnings persisted. From 1912, keep away from the fellow who owns an automobile, and from 1915, she used to be the slowest girl in town.
There's a certain flirting man with money in the bank. The man I mean owns a machine, the kind you have to crank. His great delight is to invite a girlie for a whirl in his machine. And I just mean to kind of warn each girl, keep away from the fella who owns an automobile. He'll take you far in his motor car, too darn far from your pa and ma. If his 40 horsepower goes 60 miles an hour, say goodbye forever, goodbye forever. There's no chance to talk, squawk or balk. You must kiss him or get out and walk. Keep away from the fella who owns an automobile. Mary White went out one night in Harry's new machine. They rode quite far when Harry's car ran out of gasoline. The hour was late, and sad to state, no gas could Harry get. The latest word I overheard was that they're walking yet. Keep away from the fella who owns an automobile. He'll take you far in his motor car, too darn far from your pa and ma. If his 40 horsepower goes 60 miles an hour, say goodbye forever, goodbye forever. There's no chance to talk, squawk or balk. You must kiss him or get out and walk. Keep away from the fella who owns an automobile.
Thank you.
Margaret Goodman with Irving Berlin's Keep Away from the Fellow Who Owns an Automobile, and Milford Fargo and Nancy Kennedy with Raymond Walker and Charles McCarran's She Used to Be the Slowest Girl in Town. As time passed, people became more accustomed to seeing young women on their own, living and working in cities. The sentimental cautionary tale found itself replaced by humorous songs about women on their own. They were the subjects of humor or the heroines of their own stories, even when the woman was Irish or African American. As always in a popular song, the point of view was constantly in motion. Ian and Regina Whitcomb, She Lives Down in Our Alley, and Lynn Thigpen, 50-50.
There's a girl lives near to me, a million-dollar mystery. Dressed in calico just a month ago, she joined a Broadway show. She don't know her old friends now. When they pass, she'll never bow. As she goes by with head on high, you'll hear each neighbor cry, "Hi,
I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Big high heels and silken hose, Paris hats and Paris clothes. But why should she turn up her nose? She lives down in our alley. I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Her French ways are all a bluff. She's as French as Paddy Duff. I wonder where she gets that stuff. She lives down in our alley."
Just to see if she made good, the bunch from our old neighborhood spent a lot of dough, went to see the show about a week ago. When the card announced her name, La Belle Marie, well known to fame, they heard a voice yell, "That's a lie," from the gallery high. My!
I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Big high heels and silken hose, Paris hats and Paris clothes. But why should she turn up her nose? She lives down in our alley. I know her and she knows me. She lives down in our alley. They call her La Belle Marie, but her right name's McNally. Her French ways are all a bluff. She's as French as Patty Duff. I wonder where she gets that stuff. She lives down in our alley.
She lives down in our alley.
Mr. Stephen Lee, sly as he can be, is living on the second floor, apartment 23. His wife is slim, neat and trim. It seems as though that here of late she's wise to him. Last Tuesday night he had a date, so Wednesday night she stayed out late. When she got home he had the nerve to start an argument.
"Where have you been at this hour?" said he.
"Well, where were you last night?" said she.
"My club held a meeting, honey, honest and true,"
said she. "My club held a meeting, too.
It's 50-50, it's 50-50, not 60-40, not 70-30. I figured your percentage, honey, it won't do. You've been cheating me, and I've been square with you. I'm getting even, it's even Steven. I'm wise to your lies, cause you've opened up my eyes. If you wanna get along and be a friend of mine, it's gotta be 50-50 all of the time."
"No, no, 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 no. The real true, not the imitation woman, has your hands full with being a woman. Leave all the laws to the men, all the love to the women. Always do. All eyes on Flo Ziegfeld's latest discovery, Lillian Lorraine,
while Ziegfeld burns the midnight oil with Follies Beauties Lillian Lorraine and Marilyn Miller, wife Anna Held might be left to sing, "Where is my wandering bird tonight?"
Oh, Ziegfeld, caught with his suspenders down at Lillian Lorraine's.
Ian and Regina Whitcomb with Charles Bea and Charles McCarron's 1915 She Lives Down in Our Alley, and Lynn Thigpen with Chris Smith's and Jim Burris's 1914 50-50. Those independent women were about to get their way. They drove ambulances during the First World War and got the vote right after it. Falling in love, getting married, and having kids no longer had to mean that you did as you were told. From 1916, this is Byron G. Harlan's scratchy recording of She's Good Enough to Be Your Baby's Mother and She's Good Enough to Vote with You.
No man is greater than his mother. No man is half so good. No man is better than the wife he loves. Her love will guide him, whatever betide him. Good enough to love you and adore you. She's good enough to bear your troubles for you. And if your tears were falling today, nobody else would kiss them away. She's good enough to warm your heart with kisses when you are lonesome and blue. She's good enough to be your baby's mother, and she's good enough to vote with you. Man plunged the world in war and sadness. She must protest in vain. And pray someday we'll hear her say, "Stop all your madness, I bring you gladness." She's good enough to love you and adore you. She's good enough to bear your troubles for you. And if your tears were falling today, nobody else would kiss them away. She's good enough to warm your heart with kisses when you are lonesome and blue. She's good enough to be your baby's mother, and she's good enough to vote with you. She's good enough to give you old Abe Lincoln. She's good enough to give you Grant and Sherman, Robert E. Lee, and Washington too. She wrote so true, she gave them to you. She's good enough to give you Teddy Roosevelt, Thomas A. Edison too. She's good enough to give you Woodrow Wilson, and she's good enough to vote with you. ¶¶
Byron G. Harlan with Herman Paley's She's Good Enough to Be Your Baby's Mother and She's Good Enough to Vote with You. Even marriage has changed. Once women were making their way in business and proving their independence, and once the men were back from France, America was poised to leap in a wild and wacky new direction. But it took a few years to build up to that explosion. First, there was talk of getting married and settling down, but it sounded like a different kind of marriage. The women who came on their own and outlasted the cautions and fears had made their way and had their effect, even in a popular song. George Dvorsky and Alex Corey, A Business of Our Own.
We will form a partnership today.
Okay, I'll draw up a contract right away to say love will be the stock we are showing.
If you care for me, there will be no danger of going into bankruptcy.
I will discount everything that you say to me.
You must show some interest every day if we would start in a business of our own. Take in the firm a little silent partner.
You must promise not to be violent when that partner isn't so silent.
When we have a business of our own.
I believe this contract is divine.
Then sign your full name upon this dotted line. That's fine. Now you can't do anything stupid.
You just told me there's not a chance if I will let Cupid handle our affairs.
I will be your counselor, but my pay is stiff.
Swear you won't develop a corporation if
we start in a business of our own today. Dear, just as soon as you have shown the way, let me say I'll obey your word to the letter.
You'd better always bear in mind that you must divide your assets.
Stay out of my petty cash pocket.
When we have a business of our own.
From 1919, George Dvorsky and Alex Corey with Jerome Kern and B.G. DeSilva's A Business of Our Own. Here's a postscript. A decade later, as the 20s still roared, at least some of the marriages had gone belly up. But the women, fueled by bootleg hooch and birth control, were as independent as ever. Sophie Tucker, I'm Living Alone, and I Like It.
According to the columnists, a rumor somehow still persists that a certain gentleman and I have named a date, which I must deny. He's rich and handsome and gallant, and everything a gal could want. But I've learned my lesson, and anyhow, I like the way I'm living now. 'Cause I'm a one-ticket gal, free as the breeze. I go where I like, I do as I please. When I lock up my apartment, I've got all the keys. I'm living alone and I like it. If I want to play gin, I stay up and I play gin. I come home when I want to, And when I walk in, there's nobody growling at me. Where the hell have you been? I'm living alone and I like it. I'm a single bed, one pillow mama. And there's no papa, sober or stew, who comes home late to shake me and nudge me and wake me to get up and make whoopee when I'm not in the mood. If I want to have some fun, if I get bothered and hot, I phone one of those young, tall, dark handsomes that I've got. So it costs me a 20 or a 50, so what? I'm living alone and I like it. No man buys my dresses or pays for my minks. If I get a new hat trimmed with posies and pinks, there's no darling husband yelling at me, take it off, it stinks. I buy it, I wear it, and I like it. If I should go out riding with some nice young man and he makes the pass, I don't have to say yes, I don't have to take any of his sass. Car belongs to me, I'm paying for the gas. He can get right out of the car if he don't like it. When my gentleman friend comes up to my house for dinner, and it's very late when we've finished with the wine, if in the morning I'm making his eggs and his bacon, it ain't nobody's business but mine. As you already know, I've had 3 matrimonial wrecks, and there's not gonna be any 4th Mr. X. And I'll have you know I won't sign any more alimony checks. I'm living alone and like it.
Sophie Tucker, I'm Living Alone and I Like It. The young women who left home after the Civil War had no idea what to expect, but they knew they were looking for something different, something better. Most of them found both as they kept turning up in popular songs. Andrew Crouch is the senior audio producer. I'm Michael Lasser. The show's Fascinating Rhythm.
Fascinating Rhythm is a production of WXXI-FM in Rochester, New York. Support for this program is provided by this station and by the contributing members of the WXXI Public Broadcasting Council. For a playlist of this week's program or to listen to Fascinating Rhythm online, visit wxxi.org/rhythm.